Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go get him.
Here's the snap back to Chase Daniel with a short drop. He's mugged by Maurice Hurst and drops him for the sack. And the game is over. The Raiders have come from behind and beat them 24-21 over the Bears here in Tottenham in London.
It's unfortunate. You know, we put ourselves in a position field-wise to even, you know, as poorly as we played, to win the game there, at least tie it up, and we didn't do it. Numbers don't lie. You know, not good enough. No. You put in a lot of work to be better, and we know where we're at. And so it's my job to make sure that it gets better.
Obviously, you want to be out there with your team, but I mean, stuff happens on the field, and not being able to be out there with my guys hurts.
I think it's a great focus this week, just preparing.
First home game in a while, so you know, we want to start it off right and just, you know, get back to Chicago Bears football.
Is the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. Now, here's your hosts, Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz.
Good morning or good afternoon to everyone, if you will. Got the music going there. I think this is where I cut in, and it's good to be with you all. I'm Hub Arkish, along with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz. Great to be with you all. We are out on the road today. We out of the studio here at Connie's Pizza on South Archer, just south of the Loop. Hope you guys will come by and see us today. We've got pregame right up until kickoff at 3:25. We will be here for the postgame as well with James Big Cat Williams, so you can come out and watch the game with us. Obviously, some of the best pizza in town, 50-cent wings today, special prices on craft beers. And, you know, I've been eating Connie's Pizza at the ballparks for years, guys. First time in the restaurant. Impressive joint. It's quite a pizza place.
Yeah,
we're going to have some fun out here today.
It is. I've been looking right in front of us. Are we going to order a pizza today, guys? I mean, we're looking at a nice deep-dish pizza. I'm getting hungry.
That's the carb-free one. I think they're all carb-free here.
Exactly.
All protein. You eat whatever you want, right?
That's right.
So, I'm in.
It's Sunday. It's a Bears Sunday, so yeah, carbs be damned. We're going for it. It's all going to be good stuff.
And Hub, it's imagination.
I know.
It's like you convince yourself.
Yes.
Tongue was in cheek.
Yeah. You know, well, and I've also, I'm sure people want to hear us talk football, but I've developed a way in my old age to look at any food there is and find the healthy aspect to it. So to me, it's all health food.
You know, so at 46, you figured that out, huh?
There's protein in there somewhere. So we're all going to be good. Guys, come on out and see us at Connie's Pizza. We're going to have a great time. And there is one serious football game over at the lakefront today, which I know we are all looking forward to. Everybody's been talking about it all morning long. Listen to the guys on The Score on the way in. It does seem like a long, long time since this team last played, and they didn't play well when they did. And so a lot of questions come out of the bye. My first question for both of you, each of you who experienced, you know, a number of first games back off the bye, I'll start with you, Olin. I mean, what, if any, is the difference? I would guess it's got to have some different feeling, if for no other reason than you haven't gotten beaten up for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's your first live action in a while, especially for these Bears now, because you don't practice really live anymore, right? So they don't really hit, they don't really fly around. So you're trying to find a good rhythm early, which I think is very important for this Chicago Bears team, Pat, because the way they looked in London, they've got to have some questions about themselves and where they are as a team. And they're looking for a rhythm, especially offensively. They're pretty much the worst offense in the NFL. And the Saints boast a pretty damn good defense. So they're going to be looking for some confidence early on offense, looking for a rhythm. And sometimes after a bye, it's hard to get your feet under you in the first quarter.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think after that loss to the Raiders in London, you know, they had the entire week off. The players got the week off, which I thought was interesting. I'd like to get your thoughts on that too, Olin. But the coaches are in there grinding and trying to get everything right. But, you know, that's such a bad taste in your mouth after a loss like that where they physically got whipped. So I'm guessing they cannot wait to get back out there and be happy to be back in Soldier Field and maybe put together a game like they did against the Minnesota Vikings. I know 2 weeks ago, Olin, you and I were talking, we were high on this team. You know, after what they did to the Vikings in Soldier Field, I felt like, all right, now they're ready to turn the corner. Now they're ready to be really dominant on defense, and it didn't turn out that way in London, and they just got to be itching to get out there. I know I would be.
Yeah, and you don't want to get too high, and you can almost get too low after the loss they just had, right? Because the Raiders, they lost the one way, Pat, that none of us want to lose on a football field, where they got physically beat up, and they looked like they didn't have an answer for the run game. And all that being said, at the end of the game, they're 12 to 15 yards away from tying it with a field goal and getting in field goal range. So I don't know, maybe Hub knows, but Hub, what is the rules now on bye week for how many practices you can have and how many you can't have?
I think that you're only, again, it's more about how much contact they have. I think they can make them come in every day, but the most teams around the league, the norm has been a four-day weekend. And right. So what the Bears did, it's not the first time it's ever been done, but it is a little bit unusual.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of Andy Reid's style. He gives them the whole week off, Nagy being from the Andy Reid tree. But, yeah, I mean, after that game against the Raiders, you definitely want to get back on the field. I know that defense wants to get back out there and prove that they are the unit that they think they are. And this New Orleans team is going to present the same kind of problems that the Raiders presented them in London. But they are at home. The crowd noise should be a huge factor today. Give that defensive line a big advantage. And that is where Roy Robertson Harrison, Nick Williams, hopefully Bilal Nichols is healthy again. Jonathan Harris at Soldier Field is where they played a little better.
Yeah, Olin, and this Saints O-line is really good. You know, the Raiders were a bigger-bodied O-line and came downhill. The Saints run a little bit more of a zone scheme, but they run their feet on contact, and they are very good up front. What's your thoughts on those guys?
That is a very, you know, Teron Armstead, McCoy the rookie has really impressed at center, right? Larry Warford and Ryan Ramczyk, but The one difference is that they are a very good offensive line. They don't have the size and the power that the Raiders had, right? We talked about it a lot, but Good and Trent Brown, I mean, I don't know what their average combined weight was. You probably could ask Jonathan Harris. It looked like he found out what their average combined weight
was. It was 334, actually. The average weight of that Raiders offensive
line. Well, I mean, just two
right
guys,
side,
though. Just Good and
well,
Trent
well
Brown.
Over 3.5.
Not their listed weight, their actual weight.
Yeah. I want to scale. Same with Ted Washington. Right. Ted was 380, but he really wasn't. And then in the middle of that line, it's a lot of that run game is about matchups, right, Pat? And Hudson is a better center than McCoy. Is Incognito. It plays a little bit on the, you know, he plays on the edge. So the Raiders had a very good offense line. This offense line is very good. Kamara's out. Cook is out. So you got to imagine they're going to put a fullback and a tight end on the field, and they're going to run downhill with these guys.
Here's the other question I've been waiting all week to ask you guys, because people ask me, and I try and explain it, and I've observed it, but I haven't felt it. And hopefully you guys can explain it better for our audience. As you just talked about, the Bears didn't suddenly get bad on defense in London. I mean, it's still one of the best groups in the league. They had one of those games, and it happens to every team. Interestingly enough, it happened to them once last year, week five, and it was in Miami. It was coming off the bye, where you get physically beat up. You're flat. You're not ready to play. And you know, fans and people, you know, who aren't as knowledgeable, they immediately, oh, well, they're not as good as we thought they were. And you know, it's over. The season's going south. It's obviously not true. You bounce back. But what does happen in a situation like that? Is it just that guys lose focus, or what's your experience been with it?
Well, I'll go to the we played the Dolphins in 06. We were on a roll, and they came in and beat us. And it was just one of those games where I think you were just scratching your head. We couldn't believe right. that we were losing like that. I think maybe it was just a matchup situation where that big, powerful O-line just came and didn't work out well with that defensive line. And when Akeem Hicks went out, and I've heard you talk about it on the radio all the last 2 weeks, Olin, you know, Akeem Hicks played great in those first couple plays he was in there. And when he went out, the game changed. Mm-hmm. You know, he stood up Rodney Hudson and made a great tackle, but he had two tackles in the first eight plays he played in. And the game just seemed like it changed. It's like they lost their bully. Yeah. Every team needs a bully, and he's that bully on the defense, and they lost him. And, you know, as great as Khalil Mack is, he's a game wrecker, but Akeem Hicks is the bully. He's the guy, when he got hit by that fullback under the ribs, took him and slammed him in the ground, and, you know, he's the guy that gives them that identity, and I think when they lost him, that hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, and if you take a look at the other side of the ball, a guy who is supposed to be, in Pat's words, their bully, who hasn't really been around all year, is Kyle Long. So if you're going to go in the beginning of the year, if you ask me, Olin, if a street fight breaks out on the football field, which happens sometimes, who's the two guys on the Bears you look to? It would have been Akeem Hicks and Kyle Long, right? Those two guys, if I'm walking into Connie's late at night and there's going to be a fight, I'm taking those two guys from the Chicago Bears with me. But now they don't have those two guys, Pat. So when that physical football game does break out, somebody has to step up. And like you know, teams look to guys when things start to get like that. And like you just said, Akeem Hicks in the first eight plays, he had two solo tackles. He broke through double teams twice to make those tackles, and he gave the fullback a pretty good message on one play and said, don't block me ever again or you'll leave here hurt.
All right, so guys, that raises the most obvious question for Bears fans then, because we try and get our arms around how significant is the loss of Akeem Hicks. We know second-team All-Pro, first team Pro Bowler, one of the best players on the defense. The defense is still going to be very good. There's three other first-team All-Pros out there. But I think, Pat, based on what you just said, you can't also just pretend this is business as usual. You have lost a really important part. Does somebody have to step up and play that role up front?
I don't know who can. Bilal Nichols is coming back, but it looks like he's going to have a club on his hand. And, Olin, you know better than anybody, playing against somebody that only has one hand who can't grab as a D lineman, that's a huge advantage for the offense. So we'll see how they kind of wrap that up, if he is able to, you know, kind of have a claw out there with a couple fingers or whatever to use. But, you know, he's the guy that has to fill in, obviously, for Akeem Hicks. But those are huge shoes to fill, and I don't know if he can do it. And like we mentioned earlier, I was going to mention that too, Olin, is losing Kyle Long as well. He used to be that bully on the offense. He used to be the guy that could just road grade guys with bad technique. And obviously with his injury, he wasn't doing that this year. But you've got to find guys to step up. And I don't know exactly who that's going to be, if it's going to be Rashad Coward. You know, when he played a couple plays against the Minnesota Vikings, I liked what I saw. But he's right. A young guy on that side of the ball, and, you know, I like the way he played aggressively. But on the defensive side, I'm not sure who will step up for Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, and the reason we jump around the question, Pat, is you don't really know, right? But the Bears, like Hub said earlier, they're a very good defense, right? Eddie Goldman now, he faced a very good center against Oakland. And he won't face that every week, where that center kind of took him out of his game. They were running and cutting him a little bit. It seemed like it threw him off. And you didn't really see Eddie as much as you normally would see him in a game. But you're not going to face Hudson every week. Look, they still got Trevathan. They still got Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Bilal Nichols. Hopefully the hand gets better and better. Nick Williams got to come along. Roy Robertson Harris, I think he has a good matchup today on third down against that Pete, the left guard from Stanford. So it's going to be a combined effort, right, Pat? Can they replace Akeem Hicks? One guy can't, right? It's going to take more than one guy to replace Akeem Hicks. The thing you worry about is, Pat, can they be as elite as they were? They're going to be a good defense. Can they be as elite? And the answer is obviously no, not without Akeem Hicks.
Right. And I also think, Akeem was a three-down player. He could, he could rush the passer. He could stop the run. So I think you're going to see guys rolling in there, and they're going to have to try to figure out who can. It's going to not be a one person that's going to replace him. It's going to be two to three situationally, and it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, and the thing you're hearing from, we're not saying the Bears are going to be bad. It's just that when if you watch the Bears, like we've watched them since Akeem Hicks have arrived, we have a tremendous amount of respect for Hicks and what he's done for the Chicago Bears and how good of a football player he actually, like, we were shocked, Pat, that this guy wasn't making Pro Bowl. Right. Or all. That's the way he was dominating games. That's how good football he was playing. Now, during this year, we wondered a little bit about him even before the elbow. You could tell he wasn't using his legs as much. We were wondering about his knee, right? He had to miss that game because of his knee. So, a lot of times in seasons, Pat, things just start to, like, pile up on you,
yep.
Right? So a lot of these young guys got to raise their game. This is still a very good defense, I think. Still very good at Soldier Field with the air horn and the crowd screaming and yelling and taking the advantage of the snap count away from the offense. So I think the defense should be fine today.
And, Olin, I know you like to watch tape the same way I do. You watch the line play. And Akeem Hicks, obviously everybody's watching Khalil Mack. He makes those splash plays. But Akeem Hicks is a blast to watch on tape. He makes plays that he's not supposed to make. He swims backdoor when he's not supposed to, but he still makes the play, and he's a beast out there, and he's going to be missed.
He's the guy when he's lined up on you as an offensive lineman, you're like, oh, gosh, my whole family's watching this. You know, I can't let him. The way he embarrassed that guy from say, the Seattle Seahawks, I can't let him just throw me on the – sack me and the quarterback.
Yeah, right.
It's the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkish. Guys, we're at Connie's Pizza out on South Archer. Come on out. 50-cent wings, specially priced Connie's craft beers all day long. We've got the pregame going until 3:25. We'll have postgame here as well with James Big Cat Williams. You can watch the ballgame with us as well. We've got over 3 hours left, though, to get you ready for the kickoff out on the lakeshore. Give us a call at 312-644-6767. If you'd like, we're back in just a moment right here at the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think it's a great focus this week, just preparing the way we know how to prepare. Getting back to Bears defense as we know it and continue to build something special.
Hey, buddy, there's the man who has to fill in for Akeem Hicks. Nick Williams talking about the job. I'll tell you what. When Akeem had to sit out of Minnesota, Nick Williams kind of exploded on the scene out of nowhere. And I realized it was tougher, I don't know, coming off the bench. I think everybody was flat in London. He didn't show quite as much. But if he plays like he did in that Vikings game, there's not a whole lot to worry about.
Yeah, he had a good Vikings game, Pat, but he didn't have a good Raiders game.
No.
And the play that sticks out to me is 4th-and-1. They bring their punt team in. I'll let you talk about it more, but you got to get low there.
Yeah.
You got to get low.
Well, that summed up the entire game to me, that they physically got whipped. I mean, he got pushed back by a tight end and a linebacker on 4th-and-1 on the fake punt. They called punt safe, which means they put defense stay in, which they put the defense in, expecting that, and he still got pushed back. And that just kind of summed up the entire game.
Yeah, and then, you know, then they think it's a fumble and he whips out the double bicep pose. Probably not the time for it.
Nope.
There wasn't a time for the double bicep pose right there.
All right, guys, you've got the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkish, and it is time now for us to get the view from the other sideline. My pleasure to welcome in an old friend, longtime Saints beat reporter, one of the best in New Orleans, Brian Ali Walsh, good enough to take some time out for us today. Brian, how you doing, man?
Hey, buddy, always a pleasure to talk with you, man.
Thank you. So, you know, you've got an interesting football team here. Drew Brees goes down, and all they do is go out and win four ball games. And really, they're doing it differently than what we've gotten used to with this New Orleans team. So I don't know how often this has happened to you in your years covering the Saints, but let's talk about the defense first. They're playing lights out football. They're probably as good as any unit in the league right now, aren't they?
Yeah, Hub, you know, this team, in a sense, kind of reminds me of Bora's old teams back in the 80s and 90s when, you know, they always felt like you go out and hold a team to 17, 20 points, we got a great chance to win, and that's the way this team is playing right now. I mean, Drew Brees is one and only. Teddy Bridgewater is not Drew. They know that, but he doesn't have to be. If this defense continues to come and play, you know, they can compete with anybody in the league right now. And that's kind of the way they're playing right now. Few mistakes, great defense, rely on your special teams, which they've got a great punter and kicker. So they're keeping it, they're rolling right now.
Brian, let's stick with the defense here, and you got some great names all across the board, but their front four is really, really good. How good are these guys?
Hold on, I'll tell you what, they've done a great job of beefing up their middle. They got a couple good tackles in free agency, and then, of course, Cam Jordan. You know, their Marcus Davenport is coming on now in his third year. So they really do have a good four. And Dennis Allen is one of the unsung heroes of this four-game winning streak. You know, Olin, they feel like if they can get a good rush, and they've been able to, with a four-man rush and then put everybody in the back end, again, they can stranglehold any pass offense. So, and that's what they've been relying on right now, and I suspect more of the same. I really am interested to see how Trubisky handles his pass rush, because he's got a bum shoulder. You can put a harness on it, but he's going to take hits, and they're going to come after him. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
Brian, I know I wasn't in New Orleans long enough for you to know my voice, but that was Pat Manley.
No, I,
no, don't worry about it. No, it's perfect. That's perfect. You gave me a good line in.
Olin did sound younger, didn't he?
That's the best I ever sounded, Brian. So the short time I was there, Brian, my question for you is, what I realized fast is that Sean Payton is not – the only reason he's not the best coach in the NFL is because of Belichick up there in New England. And I think he is at least the second best coach in the whole NFL. And I think for him – just a little, I knew him when I was there. This is kind of like a challenge for him that he likes to take this and see that if he can win without Drew Brees and put this team on the field and just find a way to win football games by controlling the time of possession, not turning the ball over, and just finding every game is different and how are we going to win this week?
Yeah, I agree with you, Olin. He certainly has to be considered strongly at this halfway point for Coach of the Year. I think he's done a better job than Belichick, but he does take it upon themselves, and Dennis Allen too, I think, also has kind of taken the mantle and stressed to his defense. It's time for us. It's not just next man up. It's next men up. It's plural, and Peyton's done a good job of stressing that. And I think Olin, in some ways, it's taken all of the emphasis off the NFC Championship loss and how they got screwed and all season long and everything. And it's really made them focus on the team aspect again and getting back to playing the kind of football they think they can. I mean, this team came in with tremendous vision about what they wanted to do this year. And that wasn't to win the NFC South or, to win the NFC. All those things come to play, but they want to go in and win the Super Bowl, which they felt they got robbed last year.
We are visiting with Brian Alley Walsh, longtime New Orleans Saints beat reporter. And Brian, let's get to the elephant in the room. Although everybody is staring at it, I know you've dealt with this for years. Originally being in print, we have early deadlines. We got to make picks on Monday and Tuesday. I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC right now. I had to pick them to beat the Bears. Then I find out Alvin Kamara is not going to play. I mean, to me, that is potentially a game-changing outcome when Drew Brees is already down. If Brees was playing, I'd say, okay, maybe, it's certainly something you can handle. But no Brees, no Kamara. And this is a pretty good defense in Chicago they're going to see, too. It really, to me, feels like it kind of alters the whole preview of the game.
Yeah, I agree. And not only, Alvin Kamara is a hell of a player. He can hurt you in a lot of different ways. But they're also not going to have Jared Cook, the tight end who they brought in from free agency. And he was another target for Teddy Bridgewater. And they're not going to have Traquan Smith. So really, they're essentially missing. They've got Michael Thomas and they've got Teddy Ginn Jr. Okay, and those are the two big receivers. But they're missing Kamara, who was easily number two behind Michael Thomas as far as a receiving target. Jared Cook has come on the last couple of games, and then Traquan Smith has been in and out of the lineup with injuries and stuff like that. So they lose all those weapons. But a guy that's unsung now too in my mind is Taysom Hill, the Swiss Army knife that we call him down here. I mean, this guy, you're going to see him. He's been limited in the number of offensive snaps he's been able to take because they can't afford to risk him losing and playing him too much because of Teddy Bridgewater. Taysom is Teddy's backup now. So he's been limited in the number of offensive snaps. But you watch, I think he's going to get a little bit more play on the offensive side of the ball now with those guys out of the lineup. It really limits the Saints. I mean, they've had trouble scoring even with those people on the field. And, again, if the Bears bring their A-game defense, it's going to be, this could be, 16, 13, Olin? I don't know, something like that. The over-under's anywhere from 37 to 39, so I think it's going to be under.
Ironically, guys, 16-13 is what I picked the Saints by in the paper. I'm just going to flip it around now that Kamara's out. So, guys, this is brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Every Sunday with the Chicago Wolves is a Little Debbie Sunday. Kids receive a giveaway at the door and get player autographs after the game. The Wolves host Milwaukee today at 3 p.m. For tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com.
Hey, Brian, we were talking about Sean Payton, how good of a job he's done down there. And Teddy Bridgewater has stepped in for Drew Brees and done a nice job. How much has he had to change the offense since the loss of Drew Brees to now Teddy Bridgewater being in there?
Well, the biggest thing about Bridgewater is it's certainly the game plan has changed a little bit to take advantage of Teddy's skill set. But where the Saints are not the real offense with Brees in there is that Brees is like just a master at knowing game plans, studying defenses, getting rid of the ball, anticipating. Drew does this better than anybody, I think, in the league, even better than Brady. He throws wide receivers open, and Teddy doesn't have that knowledge yet. Okay, he's got a better understanding with each start. But he doesn't have this offense down like Drew does. I mean, Drew can throw it in his sleep. He can throw it with his eyes closed. If you watch him on a regular basis, which I do, he throws people open. And that's what's made him the quarterback that he is. It's made the receivers, some of these unsung, unheralded receivers that he's made into, household names and helped them go on and make money at elsewhere. That's because of him, and Teddy doesn't have that ability right now. And he may never have that ability, but he certainly doesn't have it right now. And I think that's the biggest loss. So when you know and you can get rid of the ball quickly, it also takes away the pressure in your offensive lineman hole, and you know that. So you don't have to hold on to your blocks as long. And that's why they pay Drew Brees the amount of money they do, is because he makes everybody else better around him. And Teddy can't do that right now. And, again, he may not be able to do that ever.
Hey, Brian, I was looking at your guys' center position, and I say, Max Unger obviously retired. He's also from Hawaii. They signed Nick Easton from the Vikings, and then they drafted McCoy, and McCoy seemed to come in there, surprised them a little bit, and he's solidified the middle of that line, and he's actually looking pretty good out there.
Yeah, he has, and they've needed him too. I mean, that's why they invested a number two pick on their number one pick overall. And he's done a real good job. I mean, he's not Unger, okay? He's not him yet, but he's got that potential, and they think they're very high in him. And he's holding his own. Even when in training camp, I mean, Eric McCoy wasn't even snapping the breeze in a game. Because Drew only took about 10 or 12 snaps, I think, in preseason. And then he got hurt in the second game. So, he's really spent a heck of a lot more time with Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill probably than he has with Drew Brees. But, yeah, he's doing a good job. And they're still, one of the top 10 offensive lines in the league. And so Eric is making his way through his rookie season, doing a good job.
Brian, really appreciate your time this morning. We're going to have to run, but before we go, I've got to ask you, there isn't a perfect team in the NFL. I think the Saints are certainly one of the best, but there's an Achilles heel everywhere. If there is something, other than obviously the injuries with the Saints, where have teams tried to attack them?
Well, I really think it's one of those things that people say that they don't really have a true number two receiver. And they really don't. Teddy Ginn's he's not a real compliment yet. And he can stretch the field, but, I mean, none of these quarterbacks really stretch the field, so kind of negates him. Michael Thomas is the real deal, but he's not a scorer, and he's not a red zone guy. So, and Jared Cook hasn't done that yet, and that's what the feeling was when they signed him. He would be that Jimmy Graham kind of guy, maybe Ben Watson kind of guy. And they just haven't been able to get on the same page. So I would say that if you can, contain the running game, and that's a big if, and then Michael Thomas ain't necessarily going to beat you, okay? He's more of a possession receiver making a great deal of money. He's going to get his catches. But look at his—he doesn't score much, and he's not even a scorer in the red zone. So I would say that's their biggest. They don't really have a great target in the red zone is their biggest Achilles.
All righty, Brian, we do appreciate your time. That is Brian Alley Walsh, New Orleans Saints beat reporter, giving us a look from the other sideline. We're going to have to take another quick break here. Before we do, I want to remind everybody, you can join Joe Ostrowski for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show on Tuesday from 6 to 10 at Old Tinley Pub in Tinley Park. Enjoy the broadcast, enter for a chance to win Bears tickets, and watch a live interview with former Chicago Bear Olin Kreutz, our pregame partner right here. Brought to you by Miller Lite, hold true. Hope these guys are giving you a gas allowance. I love Tinley Park, but that's a ride, man. We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, your phone calls at 312-644-6767 on The Score. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz. I am Hub Arkush. We are enjoying a visit out on the road today at Connie's Pizza. We're not in the studio, so you can come on out and see us if you would like. We are out at, it's 2273, I think, South Archer. I know it's South Archer right off of Clybourne, so come on out and see us. We'll be here for the postgame as well with James Big Cat Williams. We've got, thank God Chris Dickens is here. He's producing for us on site because I would be lost otherwise. Marshawn Robinson is spinning the dials for us out here. Studs, Adam Studzinski is our regular producer back in the studio, man on the board for us, and here from promotions, Greg Rinaldi and Cooper Kaplan. So thank you to everybody on our crew for making this happen. Guys, we'll get you some early scores here. A lot of the early games wrapping up the first quarter, early in the second quarter. Rams and Falcons are tied at 3-3. Miami has just scored to take a 7-6 lead on Buffalo early in the second. Jacksonville and Cincinnati scoreless early in the second. Detroit up 14-7 on the Vikings in Detroit. Packers up 7-3 over the Raiders. Indianapolis has had 7-0 over Houston in Indianapolis. And San Francisco and Washington are scoreless about 5 minutes. I take that back, actually. This looks like Washington has scored to take a 7-0 lead. I got one of these computer things where it's cutting off right where the score is. But I think Washington has gone up 7-0. So we will keep you up to speed on all the early action. Beyond that, though, our job to get you ready for Bears-Saints at Soldier Field, 325 kickoff. Our phone number, 312-644-6767, if you guys have anything you'd like to talk about. Oh, another question I've been thinking about for you all week long is, as you just already alluded to a few minutes ago, it was not a long stay, but that last season after you left the Bears, you were out in New Orleans, and this is basically, you know, obviously a very different team, but the same organization. Sean Payton had already been well established there, Mickey Loomis, the general manager. How would you describe the Saints organization? It is one of the most successful in the league over the last decade and a half or so.
Yeah, I guess the easy way to describe it, and the Bears are getting a good look at it because that's where Ryan Pace is from, and he learned under Mickey Loomis, who's president of operations. And I wasn't there when Jeff Ireland was there, and the guy they brought in to help with their draft process, and has done a really good job restocking that Saints team. But they're a first-class organization, run really well. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, a very good football combination of a coach who understands what kind of players he wants to win, and Mickey Loomis understanding how to find them. So they're consistent for a reason, right? They got that quarterback. They got a very high-level coach, and then they surround their quarterback with the players they need. And really, guys, they just surround themselves with as many good football people as they can find. Like, you go through the names on that coaching staff. They got Mike Nolan as their linebacker coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got Dan Campbell as their tight end assistant head coach. They got Lombardi. I mean, Pat, you could go name after name after name. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis are two guys who understand very well what it takes to win in the NFL, who to put on their team, and they seem to get it done more often than not.
And one thing I found interesting, too, is they got a lot of guys that played in the NFL. You know, a lot of those coaches had a long career playing as well, so that adds a different dynamic in the meeting room. But, Olin, you've told me, I know he's not playing, and that's Drew Brees, but how impressed you were watching him practice. Can you describe what it like watching him and why he's so great?
You know, Drew, there was no detail too small that bored him, and he paid attention to everything. I remember when they installed two-minute offense, which is the no-huddle offense that you see teams doing either at the end of games or at the end of halves. And Drew installed it. The coaches left the room. And I was wondering, you know, my time with the Bears, I'm like, the meeting's over. You know, I'm thinking I got to get up and go too. And then Drew walks up and he starts installing his no-huddle offense, right, what he wants done out there and telling us the details he wants to pay attention to. Pat, we used to do walkthrough. Drew would throw the ball to the guy he wanted to throw it to, and he would continue through his progression with a fake ball with the perfect footwork. Then he would roll out like he got pressure and work his scramble drill. And the rest of us were standing there staring at him like, this guy.
What was your thought when you first saw that?
Rain Man. Is this Rain Man? This guy. Well, my first thought was, thank God, this is what a quarterback's supposed to look like, right?
Right.
And Drew, like Brian we had on earlier, like he said, Drew, you know, there's not a lot of Drew Breeses out there. And that's one thing people have to remember about the NFL. Everybody's always looking for, there's like four or five guys who everybody's looking for that are actually alive.
Guys, I've got to correct one score I gave you. I mentioned my computer was acting up. Washington has not scored. The 49ers in Washington are now scoreless, actually halfway through the second period. So Washington has given the Niners all they can handle, but no score there. Arizona's now gone up 17-0 on the New York Giants. Pat, I thought it was interesting talking to Brian. That last question I asked him, where would you attack? And he described.
Pat never really talked to Brian, did he? It was just me the whole time.
It was a different voice.
Yeah, Olin left and Olin right. But they basically, Michael Thomas is an all-pro receiver, but beyond that, they don't have anybody who's going to scare you in that passing game. And he said it's been a problem for him. Well, the Bears happen to have two first-team all-pros in the secondary. You know, he also mentioned they can beat you in the run, but the Bears had no trouble with Latavius Murray twice last year. I know it's a good offensive line, but I think what makes that offensive line so good is the way they work together. And Olin can attest to this with Breeze. Everything is one and two steps and the ball is out. And so it's not like they've got to hold their pass protection all that long. This matchup, actually, if the Bears can overcome the loss of Akiem Hicks, this matchup sets up pretty well for the Bears defense, again, you know, without Kamara and Breeze on the field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Chuck Pagano dials up because they do get the ball out quick. And watching the last two games, nobody really blitzed him. Nobody really put any pressure on him. It'll be interesting to see if Chuck Pagano, with Akiem Hicks being out, starts bringing a little quick pressure in there to try to fluster Teddy Bridgewater a little bit because nobody's done it, and he's been very efficient with Sean Payton's offense of just getting the ball out, getting it to the right person. And Latavius Murray is a good complement to Alvin Kamara. One thing in the past, he has had fumble issues. He hasn't done that too much the last 2 years, but you know that's something you look at as well. But I want to see a little bit of pressure dialed up from Chuck Pagano and see how Teddy Bridgewater deals with it.
You know, you would expect them, Pat, right, to say, we're going to come out in 21 personnel. Okay, I said that because I heard someone say it on the radio. And I was like,
you sound smart.
And no, I was like, what the hell is that? And then they said it was a tight end and a fullback and a running back. Like, oh, regular,
yeah,
right?
Right,
regular. So I heard someone say 21, hey, Pat, and they're like 11 and 12 and 15.
When did that change?
I don't know.
Because we never had that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was, 5, 6 years ago.
I'll tell you, that changed when media decided they wanted to start sounding like coaches.
Hey, I was like, wow, maybe I should know that stuff. Anyway, you're expecting to see that offensive line, the fullback Zach line, right, the tight end Hill, and they're going to see if they can try to run the ball and then get Michael Thomas one-on-one. And the thing that interests me the most in this game, guys, is Pagano last week, when you look at it, I mean, not last week, but against Oakland in London, when you took a really good look at it, there wasn't much adjustment to when they were running downhill at the Bears. They one adjustment they had was, like, they went to 4-2 nickel and tried to blitz the safety off the edge, which didn't make sense to me. Like, Fangio used to come with that 6-1 package, put an extra D lineman on the field and go almost big on big. And I think they need an answer like that today to force these guys to throw the ball a little bit, to force. Look, you're going to see a very similar game plan on both sides, right? Force the quarterback to beat you.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about is the one thing today is that the Saints have their backup quarterback in the game. Hub. Mitch Trubisky has to be the best quarterback on the field today, right?
He
has to be.
He should be.
You can't have the Saints had not have Drew Brees here, and Mitch Trubisky's not the best quarterback on the field.
Well, certainly for the Bears to win, that's the formula. I would say Teddy Bridgewater probably would be starting for you know 10 to a dozen teams in the league as backups go. He is the highest paid backup, actually makes more than Chase Daniel. But Olin, your point is still absolutely correct. I mean, you know, you're talking about, even if you go back to the basics, Bridgewater, Vikings trade up to the back of the first round to get him. He's limited in arm talent. He's not nearly the athlete that Mitch is. Mitch is the number two overall pick. He's one of the best athletes at the position. You're absolutely right. Now, I don't know what to make of the injury. You know, maybe you guys can answer this for me, because I asked Mitch point blank on Wednesday, you know, I know it's your non-throwing shoulder, but it's only been a couple weeks, and Matt Nagy keeps talking about this being a pain tolerance issue. So I understand it's going to hurt when you get hit, but does it hurt every time you throw the ball? Just in the follow-through, because your whole body, your upper body is involved. And he hesitated, and he actually, the first time, kind of, he gave a good answer, but didn't answer the question. So I said, Mitch, let me put it a different way. Point blank, does your left shoulder hurt when you throw the ball with your right shoulder? He was measured in it, but he said, no, it feels pretty good right now. So I don't know how much of it all that's going to limit him.
Yeah, and adrenaline is an amazing drug. Once you get in the game, you know, they might shoot him up a Toradol. I don't know if they'll do that or not, and that helps as well, but once you get in the game, that adrenaline's going, and you know it better than anybody, Olin, you know, that pain level kind of subsides a little bit. So you hope that happens, and you hope this little extra rest that he's gotten with this, that it's not an issue, that he's not thinking about it when he's dropping back. So that'll be interesting to see, but again, adrenaline's an amazing drug.
Yeah, and you think it's, you know, throwing the ball is really a rotational movement, right? So he's got to use that left side of his body to get that ball out. But look, sometimes when you're hurt, Pat, like you know, it makes you think about that, and you don't think about a lot of other things. And sometimes, you know, you got to go back to your fundamentals, get your technique cleaned up, and get things right. And he wasn't playing really, really good football. Now, against the Redskins, he had a decent game, and Taylor Gabriel's back, and he had 3 touchdowns in that game. But I'm happy to see Mitch Trubisky back. I know that the fans were big on Chase Daniel. I know that everybody was big on what Chase Daniel was doing. But I think Mitch is the better quarterback. I think he gives him a better option back there. I think he can extend plays with his feet. He can get the ball out. He can allow like a scramble drill to happen. Guys will turn up the field. In the first 2 or 3 games, he missed by a little bit when he would scramble and guys would break free, and he just barely missed them. So hoping to see Mitch back in last year's form. Like when I was watching a Vikings film last year, and he looked really good in that game, really settled in the pocket. So hopefully maybe stepping out for a couple of weeks, ability to look at yourself and just how bad you were playing, and honest, and sometimes watching somebody else and just thinking, man, I should do that. I shouldn't do this. I'm hoping that he comes back, his head's a little more clear, and he plays better football.
And it's always hard to see somebody do your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
That brings maybe a little levity to the situation when you're at Hallis Hall and you're in meetings and you're like, wait a minute, he can do that, and that's my job. And then Right. Maybe he gets a little more hungry Right. And a little more focused. And you hope that's not the case, but it's hard to see somebody else do your job. And the other thing you mentioned is him scrambling. It'll be interesting to see how comfortable he is or confident he is with that shoulder getting out of the pocket and taking off and maybe taking a hit.
And you know, Hub and Pat, the thing that's confused me with all this talk with how bad the Bears offense has started. What's confused me is, okay, if you look at the teams running the Bears scheme, the Chiefs are the Bears are 26th in the league in rushing. The Chiefs are 24th. The Eagles are like 15th. We didn't hire Nagy to run the ball, yet he talks about we need to run the ball, right? You sign Allen Robinson, you sign Taylor Gabriel, you got Tariq Cohen, you got Trey Burton. You're supposed to spread the field and have explosive plays. And now I'm confused at what offense were they trying to run there, because his backup quarterback threw two really bad interceptions out there in London. Are they in that game? The first interception he threw on a 24 led to a touchdown, right? And then he throws a late pick. We don't mention that at all, okay? But we go into the bye week, and Coach Nagy, who sometimes is allergic to running the ball, he wants his run game fixed. And I'm thinking, you got to fix your offense. You got to get more explosive plays. We got to get the ball in the end zone and score points, because you didn't come in here with a power run game. So I'm just confused at what he's talking about when he's on the stage.
I got to tell you, we may be spending too much time together, Olin. The last question I asked Matt Friday was, okay, you've got Kansas City and Philadelphia are kind of the offenses that you grew up in, you know, what we thought you were bringing here. How close to that are you right now in terms of what you're trying to run? I'm trying to figure out, because it doesn't look the same. Mm-hmm. And he actually, he was pretty good in his answer. He said, to be honest with you, He said, that's my base. He said, and we're all going to be a little bit different. And he said, you know, we're not as close to it right now as we'd like to be. We're still figuring things out. And right. So it's a great observation by you. And even, you know, pretty open in the answer. They've obviously got work to do. Guys, we've got a couple more hours that we're going to break it down for you. Right now, we've got to take a quick commercial break. You've got the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show with Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz. I'm Hub Arkish. This is 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.